The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. I hope you all had a great weekend. Got to go to church and meet people, and let's see, what else? I think that's about it. I spoke on Islam, on Chrislam last night with Ministry to Muslims. Had a good time doing that, and released three or four articles today. I forgot how many. I think it was just three. But working on stuff, getting the video room almost there, and here we are. So, how about that? If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. For the newbies, this is a Christian apologetic show. We answer questions here on the Bible, on truth, the nature of God, and all kinds of stuff. Speaking about truth, this Thursday I will be teaching on baptism. So I teach a Bible study on Thursday nights, and so people enjoy it. They come over, and I'll be teaching on whether or not baptism is necessary for salvation, which it is not. I'll be teaching on the issue of the covenant relationship, and I'm going to show, which I believe, that Jesus was sprinkled when he was baptized, not immersed. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, what? You can't listen to a guy's going to teach that. Oh, but Jesus was baptized according to the law, Matthew 3:15. He had to do all that to fulfill all righteousness, and the law required that a man entering into the priesthood, which he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the law required that he be sprinkled with water. So Jesus was fulfilling that law. So that's what I hold to, and that's why I hold it. And maybe some of you are like, not so sure about that. Well, that's all right. You can listen in if you want on that Thursday night when I make it go live. And let's see. We're having trouble with the Facebook page. Let's see. Okay, I'm trying to get working things here. No, I'll get to a different way. Yeah, the Facebook Carm page we are working on, just so you know, for those of you who might be listening. For some reason, Facebook is making a major change, doing all kinds of stuff, and making it difficult for us to do various things. And that's a short version. So making it hard to work through things. We're working on that. So the Facebook should be, hopefully, on Matt Slick Live Facebook page, which I'm checking to make sure it should be right there. And we'll see. I'm going to check it out a little bit here. But there you go. So, hey, folks, look, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have three open lines. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and just search for Carm Videos, and you'll see it there, if you want. And some people like to watch me. I'm waving. And things like that. So hopefully you will, too. No big deal. All right, now, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to John from North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, brother.
Hey.
What do you think's behind UFOs?
UFOs are probably demonic manifestations, since they teach theology, the theology being Jesus is not God. We're all divine, and reincarnation is true. They're into various other things, but that theology obviously is Antichrist. So since I've done the math, it's just not possible for life to form by chance any place in the entire universe. And it's just impossible. So that's it.
When you say teachings, how are they teaching? I've never
Abductees. When people are abducted, the first time I ever heard about this, I was reading, I don't know how many decades ago, I was reading something on a guy who was doing research. He was a non-Christian, and he was doing research on people who were abducted. And so he had them under hypnosis, trying to remember details. And they didn't know each other, and there were definitely commonalities. So something's going on, you know. And so one of the abductees mentioned under hypnosis that the aliens taught a little bit of theology, mentioned Jesus, and the researcher was like, what?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
Crazy.
And so he researched it and re-hypnotized others in the group. And not all of them, but some of them were also taught theological perspective, and they were all taught the same thing. Jesus is not God. Reincarnation is true. We're all divine. And then what really got me in the article was this guy who's not a Christian, and he said in the article, I wish I could find it, I wish someone, you know, just years ago I read this, and I forgot where I was. I never thought anything about it. It was before I was doing CARM. But at any rate, he said that he went to the Bible and researched Jesus, because that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's where you go. And in another session, he was quoting some verses, just reading some verses to him about Jesus. And his concluding remark was stunning to me. He said, some of the people who were under hypnosis reviewing the issue of what the aliens were teaching, when I would read some verses in the Bible to them about, you know, that's what, you know, just research, he said some of them behaved the same way the demoniacs did in the Gospels. And that just blew me away.
So they can, it's amazing how the Bible can be twisted into what anybody wants to say.
Yeah, it can, and I try and teach people how to.
Yeah, that was it. I'll appreciate the answer there.
Okay. All right, man. Sounds good. Okay.
Take it easy.
All right, God bless. Well, that was John from New York, from North Carolina. If you want to give me a call, please just dial 877-207-2276. We want to hear from you. Hey, we stay on the air by your donations. If you're interested in supporting us, just go to carm.org/donate. That's all you got to do. And we ask for $5, $10, $15 a month kind of a thing, because that helps us set up budgets. And we need budget stuff, information, you see? There you go. And if you like this show, you know, you can always contact truthnetwork.com and say, hey, like the show, and things like that. If you don't like the show, contact them and tell them. It's okay with me. All right, let's get to David from Kansas City. David, welcome. You are on the air.
Hello, man.
Hi.
The current events in Israel have triggered a lot of what I think Hank Kendrick used to call newspaper theologians, where they read the newspaper and develop a theology according to what's happening mm-hmm. in Israel. What is your current take on the situation in Israel according to Bible and Bible prophecy?
Well, Israel is just defending itself, as it should, against the evils of the Hamas, who are hiding their weapons inside of churches and schools behind children, women and children, and then shooting and making it difficult for Israel to retaliate. So they want to injure Israel on the southern border. And the problem with that is that Palestine wants to have their own land. And some of the people in America, like AOC, are completely moronically ignorant about what's going on over there. And they speak out of their incredibly profound and deep, obscure ignorance about things. And then they try and make headlines for themselves. And so if Israel were to give Palestine what they want, then it would be roughly 7 miles from Jerusalem. And that's within rocket range. And so then they would be just raining, terror on Jerusalem. During the Six-Day War, Israel was attacked, and Israel gained land during the war and kept it and has given some back. The Muslims cry and whimper like little babies because they attacked Israel, Israel beat them, and then they went, we want our land back. But if they had beaten Israel and Israel said, give us our land back, they would have said, no, of course not. So the Muslims are following a false prophet, a false gospel, a false religion, a false God, and it's an evil religion. It's dangerous and should not be trusted, and Hamas is just an evil tool of the devil. That's all.
Okay. Well, that was pretty much the geopolitical side of it, but how do you see that as far as biblical prophecy?
Well, biblical prophecy is that that Israel will continue to defend itself, and that eventually it looks like Russia and China will come in to take a spoil out of Israel, and mm-hmm. Israel's going to destroy them.
You're taking Ezekiel and Revelations literally then.
Yeah, that's what I hold to.
Okay.
And I think it's Ezekiel 38.
Okay.
And the Dead Sea has, and I've floated in the Dead Sea, and it's really interesting. You can't drown in the Dead Sea. It's just not possible. Unless you're face down and you stay that way. But there's so many minerals suspended in the Dead Sea that I think they say there's trillions of dollars. They just can't get it out yet. So that's what, you know, it says take a spoil. So that's probably what's going to happen. And it does say every nation will be gathered against Israel. That really causes me to lament, because that means America will be against Israel, which makes sense considering the moronic leadership that we have in our government today.
Well, I call it demonic.
Yeah, it's yeah. These people are, they're against our Constitution. They're Marxist or socialist. You know, they cause problems, then blame everybody else for their problems. And, you know, in fact, I live here in Boise, Idaho, and there is a flight to Boise, Idaho from Washington, Oregon, and California because of the liberal laws and the liberal crap that they've been putting in those three states. We are being inundated. My house has gone up in value rough in a year and about $150,000 in 1 year. Seriously.
Well, you just hope that, hope and pray that they don't, you know, stop tourism from Israel where you're you know, your land tour and everything else, because that's the next thing AOC and them would love to introduce.
AOC's a moron. Yeah, she's a moron.
I know.
Well, so here's the thing is, a lot of people don't realize that those rockets that go in, they only go in a few miles, and we're not going to be in that area. We're not even going to be near that area. It's not a big deal.
No, I'm not talking about the Americans stopping tourism, period, to Israel as a boycott measure, because I think those, you know, the squad has actually made references to that.
Well, yeah, the squad needs to be changed to the squat, and that's what they do. And so I would be glad to debate them, you know, and I know nothing about politics.
Well,
so if they would agree, I would say, yeah, let's do
they
it.
They don't either.
I would bone up. Yeah, so we'd be about even. Yeah, there's a lot of facts, and the leftist media, as you can tell, I don't trust the left. I don't trust our media.
I know.
You can tell. You know, I just don't. They don't believe in truth. And that's the thing. I'm real big on honesty and integrity on truth. If I give you my word on something, even if you were to go bad on it, I keep my word no matter what. That's how it is. And I believe that truth is a reflection of the character of God, and these people don't care about God. They care about themselves, and they use the idea of truth as a commodity to get more power. And this always leads to oppression. So the more rights they take away, the more power they need to have to keep us under control.
Yeah.
And in mind control stuff, there are what I call markers, okay, social markers. And what you wear, what you dress, what words you speak, like changing the word marriage or spouse or wife or husband to partner, that's also a marker. Wearing masks, even when you don't have to, that's a marker. It's a disclosure of the amount of control that is over a group of people. And
I've sold school books for 20 years, and I've read Brave New World, 1984, and another book called The Perfect Day by Ira Levin is amazingly on the spot on this kind of control.
Let's check it out then. Also, Fahrenheit 451 is good.
Okay. All right, thank you for your perspective.
All right, God bless, Marty. All right, that's right, folks. I pray for my leaders, though. Boy, they need prayer. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have two open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Eli from Florida. Eli, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Eli, how you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in. What do you got?
Well, actually, I reached out to you before on Facebook not too long ago.
Yeah.
But I realized I can reach you down here, which is awesome. Pretty cool.
Okay. Good.
But no, yeah, brother. I mean, I just wanted to tell you, I came out of a cult and from
Which
ICOC.
Cult? Oh, the ICOC.
ICOC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And me and my wife, that's where I met my wife, in that church. I was like in a mission trip and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just to make it short, I mean, I'm Reformed in my mm-hmm. view, in my theology, and also mm-hmm. a Calvinist. So, I mean, God definitely has been using me and my wife to just evangelize to my family, to try to bring them out of there. But it's just been rough.
Yeah.
You know, it's to the point where, like, they don't even want to talk to us sometimes. You mm-hmm. know, it's like a bipolar issue, you know,
right.
kind of in a way. But I just basically, I feel like every time I go into, like, a debate, which I hate going to debate, but, like, I like to just talk about it based off, like, baptism. Like, how are you saved, you know? Mm-hmm. And I try to go through the arguments and try to tell them, well, who provides that? Like, who gives yeah. the salvation? It isn't the water. But they would say, yeah, but Jesus, you know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, he got in the water, so therefore we should do what Jesus was like. And then they'll go with scriptures based off.
He was sprinkled.
Yeah.
And show them that. You have to go to the CARM website and look up the article. Why was Jesus baptized? It goes into it. Okay.
Oh, like on your website?
Yeah, he was actually sprinkled according to the law. And one of the, it's a very easy and quick thing to show the baptismal regenerationist false teachers, because they're going to believe in immersion. Well, okay, then why was Jesus sprinkled? And they're going to look at you like you're an idiot and say, well, he said in Matthew 3:15 that the reason he was getting baptized was to fulfill righteousness. That means the Old Testament law, because he's made under the law, Galatians 4:4. So, in that article, it shows in Leviticus chapter 8, Numbers 4, Exodus 29, it talks about the things that Jesus needed to do and to be in order to enter into the Melchizedek priesthood. He had to be 30 years of age. I got the references all there in the Old Testament. And he had to be anointed, and that's the Holy Spirit came upon him. He had a verbal blessing given, which, you know, my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And I think it's Leviticus 8:7 says that the priest needs to be sprinkled with water. And it specifically uses the word sprinkle. So that's, you know, you can ask them, if Jesus was fulfilling the law, where does it say he was immersed when it says that the priest is to be sprinkled? And since Jesus is a high priest of the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 6:27-25, then can you please explain that to me? It'll really throw them for a loop, as it does for a lot of people right now who are listening who've never heard this before.
Right.
But I've got another argument you can use. It's quick and slick.
Okay.
It works very well with baptismal regenerationists. Now I ask them, what is justification? Now justification is a legal declaration of righteousness. That's what it is. And there's verses that All talk right. about this. Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5, Romans 5:1, and other verses.
Okay.
And so we're justified, and I go to Romans 5:1. It says, having therefore been justified by faith. And you ask them, you have them look at Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1, okay? And it says, having therefore been justified by faith. So you ask them, does the Bible teach right here in this verse that we're justified by faith? They have to say yes. If they say no, you just say, well, that's what it says right here. Why are you disagreeing with it? And you just go until they finally admit that's what it says. You say, good. So you admit it teaches that we're justified by faith, right? Good. Now, here's my next question. Are we justified by faith when we have faith or not? When you see the question, you see how powerful that is?
Yeah, that's really powerful, actually, looking at it that way.
Just try it, and you'll see all kinds of hymns and haws and ways of trying getting out of it. And what they're going to do, well, you see Acts 22:16, you know, John 3:3-5, Galatians 3:27, 1 Peter 3:21. They're going to go in all these verses. And you say, we can look at those, but this is what it says right here. Can we not just jump all over? Does it say what it says right here? Yes. Then it's justified by faith, then... Do you agree with the scriptures that we're justified by faith? Yes. Are we justified by faith when we have faith? Because that's what faith is, right? Well, are you going to say yes or no? If they say no, they contradict Romans 5:1. If they say yes, then baptism is not necessary for salvation. They lose either way. And the best that they can do is reinterpret justification or say justification occurs by faith when you get baptized. Then you say, oh, so justification doesn't occur by faith when you have faith. Right? That's what it is. You believe. And it's the faith that God grants us, Philippians 1:29. So are you saying the faith that God grants us, Philippians 1:29, is not sufficient to justify us when the Bible says we're justified by faith? What's with you? You see? That's what you do. Okay?
Yeah, but even then, like, to tell you the truth, like, it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. Because with ICOC, it's like their theology is all over the place. Like you will talk to one person, and they will say, oh, no, baptism doesn't save you, but, like, you got to get in the water. And sometimes I'll, like, ask, okay, all right. I mean, there's a reason why I left the church. You know, I didn't just leave the church just because, like.
Right.
And that's what I've been trying to figure out. Okay, what is ICOC? What
it's
is COC?
Yeah. Right. International Church of Christ is what that ICOC stands for, folks. International Church of Christ. It's a cult. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. And I mean, I've pretty much grown up in that church almost my whole entire life, but I was in and out. And I just felt like, well, that's what work salvation gets you to. You know, you think you can come back to church and you have your salvation, and then they'll say, well, you can lose your salvation. And that goes another argument. I mean, I just been evangelizing to a lot of people. I used to lead in ICOC. I was like a youth pastor there. I was teaching baptism. I was teaching all kinds of things. So, like, for them to correct me, it's just like, wait, hold up. Like, if I was wrong, like, then how did I become a youth pastor in ICOC teaching people about baptism,
right,
teaching people how to become a disciple? And it's just like, I'm so confused. Like, so I'm wrong now? Like, I just try to understand it as much as I can, but I try, like, not to be arrogant. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, it's okay. But do you is that your question about the baptism issue? Is there something else there?
Baptism, but can mostly more on the...
Can you hold on, buddy? Because we got a break. Sorry about that. Might as well, you know, go to the...
No, you're good, brother. You're fine.
All right, hold on. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, buddy? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Two open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back to Eli from Florida. Hey, welcome back. Okay, so where were we? You're going to ask me a question, I think.
Right. I think it was... I'm trying to remember. I think it was based on Calvinism, on the next subject. It was basically most of, like, how do you know you're the elect type deal.
Easy. Yeah, it's easy. You know, people say, how do you know you're elect? As though election is arbitrary and there's no way for us to know, because you could be elect and think you are, and then maybe you're not because you might be tricking yourself and God might be tricking you or whatever. And people who ask that just fail to realize that the Bible says the unbeliever cannot receive the things of God, for the foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And the Bible also says in 1 John 5:13 that you can know that you have eternal life. So then the Bible teaches us that we can know we have eternal life, and only people have eternal life. Only the elect are going to have eternal life. So therefore, you can know you have eternal life. And we know that that we've trusted in Christ and put our faith and hope in Him, and not by anything we do, not by our sincerity, not by our faithfulness, not by our goodness, not by baptism, not by sacraments, not by church attendance, but by faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done on that cross. And that's what our hope and faith is in. And so therefore, we can know we're saved. Not a big deal.
Right. And I mean, and that's where they will jump back to the idea of like baptism. They'll say, well, then I guess then you do need to get baptized.
Of course you need to get baptized.
You ought to get baptized,
but that's not the thing that saves you from your sins. And they go to 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 2:38, you know, they get all these verses. So, you know, yeah, and I've written articles on them, on CARM, and quite familiar with it, and love to debate it with them, but for some reason they don't want to debate me anymore. I don't know why. They don't want to debate me about baptism. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I usually look at your videos as much as I can on baptism with COC, because they're very, because COC, I mean, they're both the same in a way of like baptism.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're very like more legalistic.
Right.
On how like today and like how to do like all kinds of stuff like discipleship, you know. Mm-hmm. I also think they have a mindset. They don't really know what it means to be a disciple. If that makes sense, they don't know the meaning.
In the true sense, they don't. Right, because they put burdens on others that they themselves don't understand. That they cannot bear. If they are justified before God by being dunked in water, then their salvation depends on their performance and action in a ceremony. And that's
right.
What is problematic. So, buddy, do you have another question about this?
Pretty much, man. You pretty much helped me on understanding a little more in depth. I just pretty much want to say thank you, man, for a lot of stuff of your videos. And just long story short, I was when I was leaving out of like the call of ICOC, a brother in the faith that I know dearly here in Tampa, that we go out to like abortion clinics to, you know, rescue, you know, babies that are being taken to the slaughter. He'll send me all your videos, man. And, you know, I appreciate what you do. And I'm very, like, encouraged by it. I mean, I'm, like, a big fan of, like, your work. Like, I watch, like, almost a good amount of it, man. So I just, it's awesome to come on and talk to you. And I just appreciate your time, man.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There is something you can do to pay me back, though. You can call the office and tell my wife how great I am. Okay?
The what?
I want you to call the office, tell my wife how great I am. Okay, because she's not convinced, and it'd be great. You know, all the help I can get. So we guys got to stick together. And if she says, "Did he put you up to this on the radio?" Just go, "Hey, what's that?" And then, go, and then hang up. Okay, so you know, just
so just call the same number.
No, you have to call the office number. And hey, it's good. And you know, so you say, "No, he didn't put me up to." Well, maybe. Well, never mind. Got to go. Bye. You know. So, okay. She usually sees through it pretty quickly, though. All right, man. Okay, God bless.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate you a lot.
Hey, praise God, man. All right. All right. Well, let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Matt Slick. My question is, was Jesus was the eternal Son of God for all eternity, or was he the eternal Word of God? Or what did he become the Son of God the moment God introduced him into the world as a baby?
No, he's the eternal Son, but that's a positional thing. The eternal Word is a thing of nature. So in the intertrinitarian communion from the eternal time, if you go back to Ephesians 1:4, and what I'm going to do is share the screen here for people to be able to see this in the room, that all you got to do is go to Ephesians 1:4, and it says this: just as He, that's the Father, chose us, that's the Christians, the elect, in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. So this means that the election, that's what choosing is election, occurred in the intertrinitarian communion before the universe was made. This is what it teaches. That's what Romans 1:4 teaches. And it teaches that we'll be holy and blameless, because that's how we're made holy and blameless, by election and regeneration and justification in Christ, by faith. So that's what's going on. So Jesus has all, or let's just say, the issue of the sonship, that the Word would be the one that became incarnate and dwelt among us, was eternal. So therefore, that position of eternal sonship is true. And he will always remain as a human being. And have two natures, both divine and human. He will never stop being a man. He will always continue on and be human. And I can give you references for that out of Scripture. But that's the biblical position, okay?
Okay. Could I have one more quick question?
Sure.
How come a lot of ministers, the well-known ministers, they like to take this verse out of context? Matthew 28:13.
Which verse?
You know, they say, well, if you don't do it to the end, you don't persevere to the end.
Maybe I lost
then
you.
Then you won't make it into heaven.
Let's try it again, Alberto. I'm not hearing you. Okay, well, I'm going to put him on hold.
Hmm?
Maybe he can call back, get in again, and tell me what verse to take out of context, because there's lots that people do. Okay, not hearing him. Okay, let's just get to Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, at the Temple Mount.
Uh-oh.
Or the temple.
Okay, so something's happened
in Israel
on my
that
end.
The Antichrist
okay,
will stand in and not claim to be God.
And,
you said no.
Place. So I can't hear them. And this only happens like once a month, once every 2 months, and I have to reboot my system. So, okay.
Hello?
Let's see.
Hello?
Okay. Make sure that they're ready. I'm going to reboot my Comrex, because that's how we have to get back in. Actually, I'm going to try something. Let's see.
Deuteronomy 6:4 says, O Israel,
yeah.
Our Lord God is one.
Right.
That word one in the Hebrew is echad.
Right, echad, right.
And, echad. And so, if God wanted, from what I know, from what I studied in the Concordance, the Blue Letter, it talked about that's a compound, the plurality
right.
words.
It's like
and
a
so
cluster
if God
of grapes.
To use,
right.
If God wanted to use singular one, he would have used yachid.
That's correct. Yachid.
And so I explained that to him, and he kind of got in his mind, but yet the modalist over.
It's okay.
Over that, I guess.
Here we go. You
got to
understand
right.
something. He's a cultist. All right, I think we're back. Hey, that happens every now and then. This live radio and this little tech issue that comes up sometimes, we got it taken care of. Let's get back to Alberto. Alberto, we lost Alberto. I wanted to call back and talk about that verse that said people take out of context. Hey, we'll get to Chuck here in a second. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Oh, we just lost them. Uh-oh, maybe we're having a problem on their end, too. That happens sometimes. Let's see. I could ask the producer. They hung up? Okay, no big deal. Hey, folks, look, give me a call, okay? We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. For those of you who are planning to go to Israel with us, we're still planning to go. We know Israel and Palestine are having some problems. It won't affect us. And we'll have it taken care of by then. And our main guy who's in charge of everything has sent out an email to everyone detailing what's going on. It's all good. I would go right now. I wouldn't even have any hesitation to go. So, but it'll be taken care of in a few weeks. Anyway, hey, folks, five open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back after these messages. Give me a call.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Give me a call, and we'll blab. Let's get back on the line here. Chuck from North Carolina on Eternal Generation.
Yes, sir, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I was worried about the eternal generation of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I've heard that, and I can't remember where. From.
Of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the procession of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, no. Yeah, forgive
you
me.
Mean
the eternal generation of the Son.
Okay, yes. Yeah, yeah, because he comes forth from the Father. And so I don't know what it means in Scripture. I don't know.
Yeah, he's
and
a
so I just can't make a decision on it because there's just not enough information in Scripture.
Good
point. that the Trinitarian Communion eternally has known the covenantal aspect and election and predestination that was to occur. That's obvious from Ephesians chapter 1, and I know that. I know that the Son, Jesus, the Word, was in this eternal relationship position as the eternal Son. And he will continue to be in that position, particularly in the
manifestation. Yeah, I would. I guess I hold on to the eternal Son more for myself, better, and I'd be comfortable with it, knowing that I can't know God. Perfectly.
Yeah, that's. You know? Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And theologians have argued about the eternal about the generation and the procession
of the Spirit.
There's been a lot of division over it, and I just think that people have gone too far on it. I don't believe the Scriptures are clear enough. I think we need to be very, very gracious about this issue. Okay?
Yep, yep. And you know what was interesting? You probably read that Gordon Clark said the best message he ever heard on the Trinity was from a either Greek Orthodox or Eastern Orthodox pastor who was on the church one day. And that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
Clark is so smart.
Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church, for example, does a great job on the doctrine of the Trinity, and it does.
Yeah, so, I believe it. Yes,
but they mess up completely when it comes to other doctrines that are essential.
So, yeah,
you know,
sure do. Yeah,
yes, they do. And East Orthodox, the same thing. All right.
Yep. Yes, sir. Matt, it's just blessing to hear you minister to these people on the air. It's really great.
Well, by God's
grace.
Matt. All right, man. God bless.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines, so if you want to call, now's the time. Let's get to Chuck from North Carolina. Another Chuck from North Carolina, I guess. Are you there?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that there was another Chuck from North Carolina.
Oh.
The temple in Jerusalem, has it been built yet?
No. Nope.
It has?
No. No, no, no.
It has not?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering, could that be a sign of the arrival of Antichrist or the end times? So I was just wondering. Or tribulation.
Yes. When the temple is rebuilt, it looks like it's going to be, I happen to have heard that they are training priests, and they have what's a necessary something, which I don't understand why or what, but they have to have the ashes of the red heifer, which they have, and it looks like there's some pretty strong evidence that in Saudi Arabia is the route that the Israelites went through when they left in Egypt. And there's, I forget the documentary that's on the web that talks about it. These guys just went along with what the Bible says. And it was really interesting. But nevertheless, there's an altar there, and there's some stuff there. And so it looks like that's where they got some of the stuff that's necessary in order to continue unbroken chain or something. It gets beyond me. And so they have that, and they're making plans for the rebuilding of the temple. And the Dome of the Rock, archaeologically, is in the court of the Gentiles. So the temple can be rebuilt, and I believe it will be. And there's going to be a truce between the three world religions, Islam and Judaism and Christianity. Now, you'll notice, of those three religions, which one is the troublemaker? It's not Christianity. It's not Israel. It's not Judaism. It's Islam. Islam is like a wild donkey, you know, kicking and braying at everybody. And So then when the Antichrist comes in, and some people think that the Antichrist is Red Heifer was in Texas, someone says, heard for the Red Heifer, that when the Antichrist comes, that, well, let me just do this, 2 Thessalonians 2. I forgot my train of thought anyway. So it says, yes, here we go. So this is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 1 because it's right near the beginning. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. I could teach on that for quite a bit because notice, the day of the Lord is the gathering as well as return of Christ. The rapture is not the day of the Lord. It's, you know, the way the seven-year tribulation, the guys, anyway. Verse 3, let no one anyway deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So that seems to be something that's going to happen unless you're a full preterist. And it was Antiochus of Epiphanes, but that's, I don't believe that. So he's coming. The Antichrist is coming. The temple's got to be rebuilt. Once that's in place, then miracles will probably start happening. People are going to be converted over to a one-world-ish kind of religion. There'll be signs in the heavens, and there's going to be an incredible deception, an incredible falling away.
And that's probably when the UFO.
Maybe. You never know. Could be UFOs are going to be part of the
deception. One other question. How would I know if I was in a cult if they preached Jesus Christ crucified and the Trinity? And how would I know? Would I know?
Well, the Bible says the ungodly spirit cannot confess that Jesus is Lord. What that means is God in flesh died for their sins, etc. And so they can't do that.
Yes.
So that's one of the things. And I released an article today dealing with how to identify a false prophet. What are some of the signs to do that? And I have a list of things for how to identify a true prophet, another article, how to identify false miracle workers, actually, because there's a lot of miracles occurring in Africa. And some of them are legit, and some are not. How do you tell the difference? And so the false teachers, and I'll probably be adding to this as I go back and forth and look at more things. But there's a list of 15 things. So, you know, they're not going to teach Christ and him crucified. This is a test. It's kind of a point that is absolutely crucial. And I'm going to read some scriptures. I want people to hear what this is so you understand that what I'm saying is from Scripture. This is John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is the Helper, and he's going to help the disciples remember. In John 15:26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So what he is saying is that the Holy Spirit is the Helper. When he comes, he will testify about Jesus. So this is how you learn very quickly whether or not someone is from God or not. We have false miracle workers. We have false teachers. Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland. We have Joel Osteen, who've taught damnable heresies. And in order to know how they are, you have to know your doctrine even better. And so most Christians just don't know. But generally speaking, there's the list. And what are they pointing to? Are they pointing to, hey, give me money, and then you will be blessed if you give me money, that's your tithe to me, etc. They point to themselves.
No, it's not like that.
So this is all
collect, kind of
stuff.
But it's not like that.
Right. So there's some issues.
So, yeah. Okay, that, let's see, I had another question real quick, but I can't think of it right now. Well, so I'll,
right.
I'll hang up and tell you later.
All right, Matt. Sounds good. Oh, buddy. Okay, buddy. God bless. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to Roger from North Carolina. Roger, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, Matt? How you doing?
Roger. Roger.
I'm here.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I'm waiting.
Hello.
I guess he's... I don't know if we've lost... I don't know if you can tell me in the comments, Keith, if he's... hearing me, if there's a problem, we lost the signal again. Me? So need me to reboot? Boy, what's going on? Huh. Okay, you hear me, but I don't hear them. So let me try this. Okay, can you hear me? I don't hear him. Let's try it. Hello? Are you there, Roger?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey.
I am here. Can you hear me?
All right, buddy. I tried something different on the Comrex, and hey, I guess it worked. All right, man. What do you got, Roger?
My question is like, I've heard you a couple times when in your debate. Mm-hmm. When you go to John 3:5, mm-hmm. that water in the Spirit, mm-hmm. why do you not see that as Ezekiel 36 of God making somebody alive, being born again of Ezekiel 36?
Well, who says I don't?
Oh, I'm just asking.
Okay. So I know there's a parallel there, but what I'd like to do is look at the context. I don't believe the Old Testament interprets the New Testament. I believe the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. And of course, typologically, as he says to Nicodemus, you should know these things, because the water there, as some theologians believe, is the washing of the Word. And my view is not the dominant view. So what church do you go to?
Well, I go to a Grace Church, which is, you know, I'm Reformed.
Okay. All right.
I'm a Calvinist.
Okay. So I just look at John 3:5, born of the water and the Spirit. I believe contextually that it's dealing with the water of the womb. That's not the the proper view. And if you go to Ezekiel 36, it says there that I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. So if that's the water that's being spoken of, and if it referencing Ezekiel 36, 25 through 30 to 27, then the proper thing would be sprinkling, wouldn't it?
Well, if my thing is, wouldn't that be something God does? It's like he's washing your sins, he's making you born again, like regeneration.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's why some theologians, and mostly Reformed theologians, allude that it's the Word that is washing us clean and is upon the intended, the Word of God, the Word spoken, as well as Christ. And we're out of time. Call back tomorrow. We can talk about this some more, okay, buddy? Because that's good stuff.
All right, thank you.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. God bless, everybody. Have a great evening. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.